All right, this is the Reading Instruction Show, and I'm here with Joe Lakovich. Did I pronounce your name correctly, Joe?
Yes, you did, Andrew.
Okay. And Joe, what are you? What's your capacity? What are you doing?
Well, I am a former classroom teacher, university professor, school psychologist, special ed director, and educational entrepreneur for the past 35 years. I have been actively engaged as a reading researcher on one research topic, and that is all things being equal, what do you do with the kid, as one teacher said, whether it's 6, 16, or 66, who is defying conventional reading instruction as we know it, and as that teacher said, can't read a lick.
Okay, what do you do then, Joe?
Well, you reach them. My research is really quite clear. I've got 9+ published articles in national and international peer-reviewed journals. But the most important thing is, if I could sum it up to get started, is that we're underestimating the ability level of chronically struggling students. That the enemy is not the teacher, the parent, the administrator, or the student. The enemy is quite clear. It is the instructional approach. Change that approach and you will change the performance outcomes and significantly change them.
Tell us more, Joe. What do we need to do? And be
Well,
specific.
and I will be specific. In my first book, which is coming up for a second edit, The Failure-Free Reading, New Hope for Non-Readers, I talked about the characteristics that are unique to this particular population. Before I get to that, I'd like to share with you, as you well know, and with the audience, what I call the state of the art in reading research.
Well,
And
no, we're not going to go that way. We really need to know what do we do.
I'm going to get that, but you got to give me 1 second on that, okay?
Very.
Primarily,
All right, what do we do?
Well, it's based on the premise that all programs work, but they don't work for all kids. So, based on my characteristics, what I found is that the kids were, for lack of better terms, I said that they're NDED and LD. ND stands for the phrase neurologically diverse. And I used to use the phrase PD, which was phonetically deaf. There are large segments of kids that don't have a good ear for sounds. You could go, and you can go cat, and finally they'll say you say the word is cat, and the kid will say, why didn't you tell me in the first place? So what we know is that they're what I call the 30% factor, that no matter what methodology is being used, and by the way, my definition of reading is gaining meaning from the printed page. If kids are not reading with expression, they're not reading by my definition.
What do you
So,
mean by reading with expression?
well, I'm talking about their reading. When they read a passage, they read with emotion. Clearly they're comprehending what the passage is about. They have inflection, they're pausing at commas, they're stopping at periods.
So
And they're
let's
not reading
clarify.
in a monotone voice.
Okay, so let's clarify.
Good.
Prosody is different than expression. Expression is something that you would do in the theater with emotion. Prosody
Prosody is a better term.
is
I
when
like that.
oral reading sounds like speaking. So that's one indication that the child is reading for deep meaning versus surface structure. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. And so I've set conditions that allow these students to be successful. And one of the things that I found in my research is that the enemy is really the text when it comes to this population. And it's really important that your audience knows where I'm coming from. I'm not coming from a broad brush approach designed to help those kids who are a little bit behind. I'm talking about intensive instruction specifically for those kids who are the bottom of 10%. And I know you looked at the recent results of the NAEP in the fourth grade, eighth grade, that just came out, the 2024 National Assessment of Educational Progress, and they talked about only roughly mid 30% of the kids are reading proficiently. Some are at basic. But what they didn't tell you more than anything else is that when you look at the performance between those kids testing on the NAEP at the 75th percentile, as opposed to those kids testing in the 10th percentile, that there was a 103-point differential between their performance.
Well, let's break that down. You know, the categories are arbitrarily defined, what is
Absolutely.
proficient and basic. And if basic is even close to average or the mean, that's called normal, that one out of two students should be reading below the mean.
And that's correct. And
So
I'm
I
not
don't.
arguing with that.
Right.
I agree
So
with
the
that.
categories are really meaningless. The scores is one indication over time, NAEP scores. And from 2020, we began to see the decline from COVID. And from 22 to 24, that decline has continued. Of
And
course, natural.
significantly so. And significantly so for those kids testing at the bottom 10th percentile. And that and when you look at their performance over the from the beginning of NAEP till now, they have not showed any significant improvement. There is a steady decline. So all I'm saying is that this is a unique population that has unique learning characteristics that we have to look at to give them a successful reading experience and get them to the point where you can hand it off to more traditional interventions, which then you can hand it off to more traditional instruction.
Okay,
So
very good. Given that, all right.
we're looking at the kids stuck at step one.
All right, given that, we'll just say, okay, we have poor readers. Nothing has worked. They've stayed poor or gotten worse. No
Yes.
argument with me there, by the way, that we're not helping our, it's not the what, it's how. So I'm a teacher. Be specific. Monday, what am I going to do?
Well, the first thing you have to look at is you have to look at the enemy, and the enemy is the text.
We've already
There
talked
are,
about that. So, what am I going to do?
I haven't finished it. One of the
Okay.
things my research has shown is that what the teacher has to look for is what I call the roadblocks to reading comprehension. She has to understand that all text is not written equally. There is text that's written more comprehensible than other. It's not based on readability formulas or lexiles. It's based on the actual way in which the author wrote it for this particular population. What I did is I am my intervention is the first intervention that is systematically and explicitly controlled for these roadblocks. In comprehension. What are they? Multiple meaning. We're predicated on a three-word philosophy, and this is what the teacher has to understand. Comprehension is predicated on a very simple three-word philosophy. Reading is relating. Reading is relating. You cannot read for meaning something you cannot relate to. So the first thing you have to look at is, does the student have sufficient background knowledge in order to relate to the content that you're about to teach?
So let
And
me see if I understand. So I'm not getting, I'm gonna. So you have prepared some texts that are better for low achieving readers. Is
that is correct.
okay.
I based it on this formula, and the formula was the elimination of traditional text that has been used with this population
Okay,
because
good.
I eliminated the roadblocks. So the teacher has to understand what are the roadblocks? What are the things that prevent our kids from comprehending?
Okay,
Uncommon
I'm
names.
asking questions only because you have some neat ideas here, and I want to make sure I understand and our audience understands. So
Thank
I'm
you.
not being combative. I just want to, if I'm not understanding, other people aren't.
No,
So
I love it. And I hope I'm not coming across as seeing it as a I'm just excited to be with you and share with the audience.
yep.
So, and I think I have some unique concepts that will have to that will help the classroom teacher. So the first thing is you have to have in your mind a comprehensibility checklist. And as I said, not all passages are written equally. So what are the factors that a teacher has to look for immediately? If the kid is not reading for meaning or not comprehending, and a lot of times one of the best engages is you could read what you're about to teach to that student. If you read a passage orally and you look at the eyes, because the eyes are the ear, are the mirror of the mind, if the student is not comprehending what you're saying, then you have to ask, why is he not or she not comprehending? Then you,
Okay.
as a teacher, look for those roadblocks.
All
Are
right.
there?
I'm going to ask a couple more questions. Is
Okay, I'll slow down, by the way.
this for middle school, high school? Is it a particular age level?
In particular, my most recent research is looking at middle school
Okay.
and beginning high school. That's the
Right.
work
Let's
that I'm
stay there.
doing in
All
North
right.
Carolina.
So there are three deficit areas: fluency, word recognition, and comprehension. This one focuses mostly on comprehension. Would you say
Comprehend, yes, and fluency. But remember, fluency by my definition is prosody.
that? Okay, all right, we'll take that.
Because if
Okay.
you have prosody, you have comprehension. If you don't have prosody, you don't have comprehension.
Okay, let's explore what your texts are. Now, it's often when the texts don't match the linguistic experiences that children bring to the classroom.
Which I'm going to get to in the in that roadblock. What
There's
are the
that
roadblocks?
mismatch. It makes reading more difficult for students.
Absolutely.
So you have modified the text, or you found different texts that matches students' linguistic background. Is that where we're going?
One of many factors that I looked at. Yes, the answer is that here are the variables that have to be looked at by the classroom teacher or anyone else involved in that. That is what are factors that impact reading comprehension? Uncommon names, dates, and places, idiomatic expression, figurative speech, awkward sentence structure. And the biggest one for our particular population, lack of appropriate repetition. So I asked this question: what would happen if I took particular critical academic vocabulary, the Deutsch 220, the Fry's 2000, put the graded level material, and I used as my core the EDL core vocabulary list because it was a good list.
Now, is this expository informational text or narrative text?
Yes, because that was the main thing.
Information text.
I
Okay.
also found that the opposite for our population, being as a former special ed educator, one of the biggest problems that a lot of people think is that the opposite of phonics is whole language or flashcards. That's not true either. With our particular population, with the kids I'm working with, phonics, flashcards, and whole language don't work. It's still what I found was a way in which you can reduce reading to its simplest form by teaching this critical academic vocabulary in comprehensible text so that they can actually be able to apply what they're learning into a meaningful passage. So I wrote material and I taught
So, did you take some particular textbooks and adapt them, or did you write
I
some new
created
textbooks? Okay.
I,
And
what I
what
did, I'll tell
textbooks?
you what I did. I went to the EDL core vocabulary list. They had a first grade word list. They had a second grade, third grade, and so on.
So, these books are about things. What are they about?
Yes. Well, in my elementary level, I have three levels: red, green, orange, and teal. The elementary is for virtual non-readers. It starts what I call the red level, which are beginning, totally beginning. The words most generalizable in first grade, and I wrote a story calling "Going to the Park." And I did "Going to the Park" because it's a concept that and a content that almost every kid can relate to.
So
And
for
so,
middle school and high school, what are the books
middle
about?
school and high school, I worked with going on a train ride and shopping at the mall. And then I created what I found is I then created An additional program that I call Verbal Master, which is an accelerated vocabulary program. And what I did then on the same format, I took sixth, seventh grade, eighth, ninth grade, 10th, 11th grade, and SAT level material and wrote it into passages initially. And then I wrote those and I taught in five word units. And then at the end of the time, they learned 30 critical academic words, and I wrote that into 8 and 12 page stories. And so I have basically 24 stories that I teach. We teach a passage or a page a day, and the kids are reading for meaning. It's really quite exciting.
Okay. So these are textbooks about experiences that they've had.
Booklets is a better term rather than textbooks. Not
Okay.
just to give them, like Friede Ebert says in the text projects, absolutely critical. There's a core body of words, 2,000 words, as you well know. The English language is highly redundant. If you master those 2,000 words, those kids will be able to read 90% of the content they see in text material through grades 1 through 9. That's a pretty exciting concept.
So they're booklets. About how many pages are they? Are they?
I teach a page a day, so there's generally 10 to 12 booklets, and then there's a new booklet and a new booklet. And it's based on a lot of things that we know. In the red level, there are seven stories in that theme of going to the park. And in the next level, it's going on a farm, and there are six stories. In the third level, it's going on a train ride, and there are seven stories, and the last is shopping at the mall. So there are 24 stories of increasing complexity. If they were to start with the first booklet and then do the remaining 270 plus lessons that equate to about 280 pages, they will have gone from a 0.0 mastery of academic vocabulary to a rock solid beginning fifth grade.
So I'm a middle school teacher, and
Yes.
you find the level that they're at.
Yes, it's a diagnostic prescriptive.
And then
And
you give
so
them the book related to their level.
that's correct. You're doing great.
And then they read it, or you read it together, or how do they read the text? You introduce.
I offer two opportunities. Initially, this was a print-only program. And because I've been in existence now, I know I look like a very young man, but I've been in existence for 35 plus years. And so what I did, frankly, was waited to the time where the technology was such that you could provide this also in a self-pacing format using online. So mine is a blended learning. There's scripted instruction if the teacher wants to do it. We preview the material. We
Okay,
introduce the
so
vocabulary.
there's a story preview,
Absolutely.
and the teacher
Absolutely.
reads
Based
that.
on what we know, which is the good, or what we know about, as you well know, the good teaching of reading. We set the stage. We make sure that the students were based on the premise that it's language first, reading second, content third.
I'm
Every
trying to get a handle on what the typical day looks like. So there's a story preview.
Yes.
And then they read silently the story.
Not yet, no.
Okay. They read it with you, or guided reading. Was that, how does that work?
It is a guided reading experience by the teacher.
Okay.
If, remember, now I'm giving two options. I used to only give one option, which was teacher-led instruction. Then they went to the software, which reinforced what they led there, and then they did paper and pencil reinforcement activity. With the onset of COVID in particular, we couldn't do that. So what I did is I put it into a multi-sensory videos that set the stage for that lesson that they're going to read. Today we're going to read a story about a person going to the park. And there's a video of them going to the park with their father and their mother. Listen as I read this part of the story. I'm going to the park. Simple, positive, active, declarative sentence. I'm going to the park with my
Okay.
father and my mother. I'm going to
I'm
the
still
park
trying to get a handle on it. Okay.
with my
So
All right. Keep on
is
going.
the script on the computer, or is it on the page, the actual story?
Both. There's in contained in the software itself is an electronic library.
Okay, so it's a software program.
It's a software with electronic PDFs. So
Okay.
it is a
I'm getting a
combination.
handle on it.
Okay.
As they're reading, are the words highlighted on the screen, or how does that work?
Once the teacher works with the student, she sets the stage, they go over the critical vocabulary, she reads that part of the story to
Right.
them,
The teacher reads it to them.
then she asks factual questions to make sure that they understand what has been presented. Then she asks inferential questions. What do you think's going to happen? Then she reads it again. Now, one of the unique features of my program, and it's exciting, is when we do the diagnostic prescriptive, we have a series of graded passages that correspond to the 11 entry points and the 11 different story levels that we begin to teach. Does that make sense?
I'm still getting a handle on the lesson. So the teacher reads it through.
So Emmett, so they do the modified close technique. What we find at that moment in time is their student's current frustration level. Where in the 11 points do they first reach frustration?
Mm-hmm.
It's at that point where we actually start their instruction. We start them at the too hard level. And we do it because most of the kids that we're dealing with in middle school and high school don't need to sit in front of material and screens that smack of dancing bears and bunny rabbits. So we make sure that when they read, in their mind, they say to themselves, this is too hard, I can't do it. But through the use of the methodology, that's why I call it a failure-free methodology, we set the conditions so that the students are not going to fail. We preview the material, we introduce the vocabulary, we read that part of the story to them, we ask them factual questions, inferential questions, and then they move on to the software. The
Okay.
software
Let me just
is...
to make sure we have. Teacher introduces, goes over vocabulary. They see the text in front of them on the computer screen, and the
No.
teacher, no.
At this moment in time, the teacher can put it, it's on a, they can put it on a whiteboard. They
Okay.
can put it on a, if chalkboards are even existent, they just go over that text right there as a preview.
All right. So the teacher reads the text to the students, and they're looking at the text either on a screen or in a paper version.
Or in purely in the beginning could also just be a simple listening comprehension. You're
So they're
just
just
setting the
listen. Okay.
stage.
All right. So the teacher reads it through. Okay. I've got you there. Then the teacher asks comprehension questions and inferential questions.
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm with you there. All right. We're to that point. So teacher reads, students listen, students answer questions. Okay, now what?
Now we go to the software. The software, now, the software then is highly sequential based on serial learning and the notion of visual pattern recognition. Now, that's something I want the teachers to be aware of. Visual pattern recognition is this. It's not something that we teach. What we do is we set the conditions that allow the students to tap into it. It is an innate ability. It is the brain, by design, seeks patterns to make sense. It seeks visual patterns. So we're setting the conditions that allow those kids to be able to recognize the patterns contained in these particular words. Now, one more feature that is very, very important. Chuck Hargis at the University of Tennessee, professor emeritus now, but Chuck is still a great guy. He wrote an article, a research article that didn't get as much attention as it should, but he looked at, is there one variable that is essential for chronically failing kids? And what he found, whether it was, you know, 6, 6 or 16, but what he found was this: as the literacy level of the independent literacy level of the student dropped, the need for this particular variable proportionately increased. And the relationship was negative 0.93, which is pretty damn high.
Okay, gonna ask a teacher question now. All
Yes.
right. We've done the thing, and you said we're going to the software.
Yes.
Is there a standard set of activities related to the story? What does it, okay. So there's one set of activities related to that story.
Yes, and the format never changes because our kids need structure and they need routine. So
So what
once
do
they
these
do
look
the,
like?
well, we first of all, just let me get one thing. Repetition was that variable. As the literacy level of the kids drop, the need for repetition proportionately increases. The problem that we and this was equal to kids without, as a special ed director, I also found the lower the IQ, the greater the number of times you had to say something before the kids could absorb it. Traditional interventions are not repetitious enough for our kids. And that's why we put them at frustration level. We're not, when they're at frustration level, this amount of repetition and sequence and structure is not boring. It's the mother of learning.
So,
So,
using very simple language so I can understand, I'm a very simple man. I'm not the brightest light bulb in the carrot drawer.
well, that makes two of us.
What exactly does that post-reading activity look like? They've done the comprehension questions, they've done the inference questions. Bing, describe it.
Okay, then again, they go right to the software. Again, there's another vision, there's another video. Same
Video, okay. What's
today
the video?
we're going to go over the story about the person going to the park,
So it
and
goes over the story again.
that's right. That's the most important thing that people have to understand.
Does it read it aloud, or is it just talking about it, or what does this do?
It's a multimedia video where the words are at the bottom of the screen,
Okay,
and it
this
is
is helping
reread
me.
at, and it's discussing it. Then it
Are the
goes.
words the same as in the text? I mean,
Everything's
it's
identical.
okay, very good.
We
And
never
you said
change the
it's
format.
okay, so it's a change of format. So they hear it, see it, they see it in video forms with the words underneath the screen.
That's correct.
Okay,
Then
now we're
we
getting
go.
someplace.
Then we go. The first thing that they do when they go to the software is we pre-teach the vocabulary. So the
So
critical
you'll pre-teach
vocabulary.
the vocabulary again.
We do it again, and
All
what we
right.
do
Is
a
this is in
multi-sensory.
the same lesson? They've okay. Vocabulary, read, comprehension, inference. Go to the video software, vocabulary, and they're seeing the story printed out. Okay.
Today we're going to introduce the word park, PARK. We don't sound it out, we present it that way. So the PARK, a visual park's pops up. A park is a place where children can go and play. There are many parks. Parks can be in the city or in the country. Boom. Next word, father. And then they see a picture of the father and it spells FATHER, father. So we introduce the vocabulary again. Once they're done with that, we then introduce it. Then we go from vocabulary to phrases and phrases to sentence. Listen carefully as I read this phrase aloud. I am going to the park. And on the screen, you see, I am going to the park. Listen as I read this part of the story to you. Listen as I present a new phrase. I am going to the park with my father and my mother. When we take the phrase, I am going to the park, with the new phrase, with my father and my mother, we get the sentence, I am going to the park with my father and my mother. Then they go to the next part. There's a screen there where it asks three comprehension questions. Where is the person going? Who is the person going with? How is the person getting there? When they're done there, they get a screen again. And on the screen, it reads, I am going to the park. I am going to the park with my father. I am going to the park with my father and my mother. Then we ask, let's see if you can find the words. Please find the word park. Please find the word father. Please find the word mother. And we are measuring their comp. Oh, we are, when they click, we are monitoring their performance. Three comprehension questions, 10 find the words. Then we go, okay, now let's go over what you've just learned. And then there's a modified close technique with the three answers underneath. I am to the park. Going, father, mother, they have to select the right word. When they're done with that, they go to a unscrambled sentence, and it's a drag and drop on the screen. There's a matching. There is a fill in the blank again on that. And then they go to what we call retro review. automated activity, dinosaurs, asteroids, or insects in the park. The sentence comes on the screen. They have to find the word that fits in the blank. When they're done with that one lesson. The next day, they're taught page two, which follows on that. Then page three, page four, page five. By the time they're done in 10 lessons, they're reading a full page with fluency and comprehension, and they're mastering that critical academic vocabulary. I'm exhausted.
Well, I'm starting to get a picture of what you're doing. And by the way, a lot of the concepts you're doing are similar to what's done in whole language. Whole language just means we try to keep the language whole and teach words and letter sounds within the context of language whenever possible.
Yeah, all I did in this this is what this is a highly structured low whole language format. So I am not I just don't leave anything for chance for this particular population. Goal is to give them the critical academic vocabulary that they must have so that they can generalize it to other factors. So I didn't create this. What I looked at is what you're doing for with your teacher training. I looked at what's good in the teaching of reading and created it for the unique population of my kids, cognitively challenged, kids on the spectrum, behavioral emotionally handicapped. And I knew what those kids knew were like. The truth of the matter is, if the average kid using my methodology wouldn't be happy with it because it's too structured, it's too repetition. But that's the key here. It's not for all kids, and that's the reason why we do that diagnostic prescriptive where we put them at their frustration level.
Behavioral or emotional disorders. We don't use the H word, disorders. Okay, sounds like you're doing some interesting stuff there, Joe.
Well, the data is exciting.
Okay.
What we're seeing is, and I know. Will Rogers used to say he never met a man he didn't like. The comedian in the 1930s. But frankly, he had a better phrase that I like even better. You know what that phrase was? It ain't bragging if you've done it. It ain't bragging if you've done it. And so when we look at the research pertaining to the efficacy of this particular approach, and the approach is simple. Again, the FFR methodology is that we're tapping into visual pattern recognition by teaching the critical academic vocabulary in the most comprehensible text. We're not teaching in flashcards.
I have
Flashcards
a
don't work.
phrase. It's not research unless and until it has been published in a peer-reviewed academic journal. So we need to get this and submit it to an academic journal. And that will be very interesting to see what we got.
I would love to talk to you about that. And what I think about you. I hold you in highest regard. You're a visionary. You're out there with those of us who are dancing on the branch out there, especially in the world of SR.
Well, that's your first mistake, thinking that I'm somebody.
No, that's not true. So
I'm just a
we're
little bald man, just yapping in my basement. What do I know about anything?
Well, that's not true.
The
But
people online tell me all the time, what do you know?
again, you know what?
They tell
This is
me.
I've been you and I have been in the arena all our lives. And what we know is when you're in the arena, you can't answer to the critics because the critics are they don't come down and step in the arena. They're always looking around, and it's just not right.
Well,
Again, that's
I really appreciate when people disagree. I really do. Because I do listen and it invites me to actually look and see, do I really believe that? Sometimes I change, sometimes it reinforces what I believe. But I always ask people, what exactly is it with which you disagree? A lot of times their argument is, I'm a bad person, or I don't know this, or I don't know that. And I always want specifics, and that's why I ask you specifics.
Yeah, ad hominem arguments don't count. If you're going to tell, all I know, let me give you some specifics. In North Carolina, the state of North Carolina legislature funded the utilization of failure-free, the second level in particular, as a vocabulary program for chronically struggling sixth, seventh, and eighth grade students. We used the self-pacing component for the most part, where the kids spent 20 to 30 minutes a day actively engaged. The program introduced the vocabulary, did all of that to them. And then at the end of that time, and they were in it for the most part, at least 6 to 8 weeks, and if not more. And then we looked at, did it transfer to independent measuring instruments? Because I can tell you about the kids were successful every day. They were working at higher levels. The teachers saw that, but was it transferring? So we looked at the North Carolina end of grade reading assessment, which is a recognized standardized reading assessment. And in particular, we looked at how did the program do with the chronically struggling students. What we found was, and by definition, was kids in the 20th percentile, the 15th percentile, and the 10th percentile. The average percentile pretest before treatment was 6.1%. The post-test was 22.1% average increase, average percentile score. That's pretty substantial. What we also saw in tests using the STAR test, a reading Renaissance STAR test, what you see with our kids, chronically struggling kids, is generally what you're seeing in measurements of comprehension is that the kids are growing about 3.5 to 4 months growth in reading comprehension for every 10 months they're in school. So by the time they get into sixth grade and seventh grade, these kids are significantly behind, at least half where they should be. And what we're seeing is about 19 months growth for every 10 months in the program. That's substantial. And then I was involved in the Power for Kids study, which Joe Torgerson did it years ago in 2007, 2008, 2009, which was at that time the largest longitudinal reading research study in the history of the United States. It was jointly funded by the Department of Ed, the Hahn Foundation, Sally Shaeswich, Joe Torgerson were the people that were in there. And I was frankly, I'm going to tell you right now, and maybe I shouldn't have, I was thrown in there, and they were kicking and screaming that they threw me in there, and they threw me in there because
Well,
I
here's the
thought.
thing. Those names are not good names among literacy scholars, Torgerson and Shaeswich.
I'm not
Shaeswich is an
arguing.
medical doctor, and Torgerson's research, if you actually analyze it, is very suspect, and I've done that on several occasions.
Well, I
So,
got beat up
all
by
right.
him too.
Anyway, Joe.
So, bottom line is on that, what we saw was when we looked at third grade students in a controlled study and they did brain imaging research, and the question was, did 100 hours of instruction actually do post-test images? Could you see changes in the brain of the kids? The answer was yes. That's number one. And number two, the only program in the four programs that were studied that produced significant increase in the Woodcock-Johnson reading comprehension and the Gates was mine.
So, yeah, we have to, brain imaging studies, they read one word and parts of the brain light up. So what? It doesn't look at real reading occurring on time in
Not
content.
arguing with you at all.
Anyway, we
I'm
have a
just
sense of
step
your
one.
program. We have a sense of your program. So next time you'll have to actually, we'll put it on screen and you can show us what it is. So we don't have to discuss it
I'm
at the time.
excited to do that.
All right, sir. I think we have blabbered on long enough. What do you think?
Well, I could talk with you forever. And you're right. I do want to talk to you about publishing and submitting this for publication, because the data is exciting. I think the big thing is I ain't a kid anymore, all right? And I go back to the notion of you got kids that are drowning and they're failing miserably. And my alternative is if what you're doing isn't working, then you got to find something else. And when you find something else, you got to look at the unique characteristics of this population. Because sometimes what we're trying to do is broad brush what works for the majority of kids, the kids plus or minus one standard deviation. But we forget about the kids that are out on that spectrum.
So
And
if
those are my
something
kids.
continues not to work, we have to try something else. I think I
Amen to that.
it's the what? All right, Joe, this has been the Reading Instruction Show. Hope you all have a good day.